September 17, 2016, we're about to have the Fold the Wings ceremony at the 306 Bomb Group Historical Association annual reunion being held in Dayton, Ohio.
After the color ceremony?
Oh, yeah. Shoot. The main purpose of our reunions is to honor the men who served in the 306 Bomb Group during World War II. However, today, we remember those who are no longer with us. The scrolls in the back of the room list the names of the men who were killed in action during the greatest conflict in history. No other event in human history affected more people than World War II. Of course, the United States and the world were changed. Those men who fought to preserve freedom paid the ultimate price, made the ultimate sacrifice. The scrolls have special meaning to me because five members of my dad's crew are listed there. Navigator Robert Benninger, co-pilot George Ike, radio operator Ross Kaler, ball turret gunner Lewis Colworth, and right waist gunner John Pindron. The names listed in your program are those who have died within the last year since our last reunion, as well as the names of men who died previously but for whom we just learned about in this last year. One name is absent from that list, and that is Phil Mundell. Is he listed?
Yeah.
He did get on. I wanted to, he planned to be here at this reunion, but he died just a few days ago. Phil was a ball turret gunner in the 369th Bomb Squadron. He was a regular attendee at these reunions, and everyone who knew him loved him. He has a special place in my heart because he flew his first mission with my dad on December 1st, 1943, to Solingen, Germany. And his nephew, Dr. Evan Feast, sent us a note that he requested be read. I'll read that to you. Although Phil can no longer be with you to celebrate all the great memories, he will be with you in spirit. The 306 Bomb Group was always most important to him and a very bright part of his life. On behalf of my family, I would want to thank you all for your kind words and warm thoughts. Evan was also the executor of Phil's will, which bequeathed substantial donations to both 306 Bomb Group Historical Association and also the 306 Bomb Group Museum at Deer Lake. He'll be greatly missed, like all of our veterans. They were members of the greatest generation. At this time, I'll call on Cliff to recognize the colors and then lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
May we all stand for the presentation of the colors and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Colors. Paul.
Freeze, Dan.
Tom.
Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Program, excuse me, Debbie Koenig will say a few words.
Today I want to talk to you about how we honor the sacrifice. And we're honoring two groups of heroes, those who have died fighting for our freedom and those who have survived and lived lives with the past ever present. Many who fight in battle claim they are not heroes. The only heroes are those who die, they explain. But I believe those who are fortunate enough to survive are heroes too, and they carry their bravery with them. If you spend any time reading books published about World War II, wartime issues of the Stars and Stripes newspaper, or listening to our wonderful veterans recount tales from their own experiences, it doesn't take long to recognize the true grit that makes these men heroes. Each position on a crew or squadron had its vulnerabilities. Just ask any crew member of a B-17 who's left exposed and vulnerable in the skies over Europe. Our Army Air Corps boys faced a new kind of battlefield, one up in the air, facing harsh weather and freezing temperatures, oxygen deprivation, flak that one could walk on, the Luftwaffe, POW camps, and sometimes stranded in hours in life rafts if they were fortunate enough to survive a ditch landing. The 306's own Arizona Harris received the Distinguished Service Cross for extraordinary heroism. His citation read in part, "While on a combat mission over enemy-occupied continental Europe, the airplane in which he was serving as top turret gunner was badly damaged by enemy anti-aircraft fire and forced out of formation. A large force of enemy planes then concentrated their attacks on this lone airplane, finally driving it into a crash landing in the sea. Throughout the descent, and as the airplane disappeared beneath the waves, Sergeant Harris was seen to still be firing his guns at the enemy aircraft. The dogged determination to fight against all odds and sheer bravery displayed by Sergeant Harris upon this occasion uphold the highest traditions of the armed forces. This is just one example among many of young men giving up their future, their dreams, and their lives for a cause greater than themselves. Then there are those who fought and risked death, but through chance or grace were saved from the ultimate sacrifice. It might seem easy to tell one's wartime adventures confidently from the safety of an armchair. Hindsight is a wonderful thing, but it doesn't always evoke the risk they face. The reality is, each time our boys went out, they didn't know if they would return. The mental and emotional toll was real. Managing it required discipline and another kind of bravery. That is a lot to ask of anyone, and that too makes our survivors heroes. Our boys in the air and on the ground, out at sea, left parts of themselves behind. Their innocence, security, and sometimes faith were lost. Yet many came home stronger and more sure of themselves than before. My dear friend, Philip Mundell, told me last year when we were traveling in Europe together, "I learned from the war not to make small things into big obstacles." This said, as we madly dashed to catch our next train in Paris, I was verging on panic that we would miss our train, and Phil calmly said, "If plan A doesn't work, then we'll use plan B." A simple solution, you might think, but how many of us become overwhelmed by small things in life simply because we allow it? I have attempted to apply Phil's simple plan to many things that prove stressful or overwhelming. Being a ball turret gunner gave Phil a confidence in life that was indeed refreshing. This is a story of another ball turret gunner who stayed calm and took matters into his own hands. The Stars and Stripes posted an article about Staff Sergeant Emery Hutchins, who received the Silver Star from General LeMay in 1943. Hutchins, a ball turret gunner, was with his crew on a mission, and as they were being attacked by Germans, the door to his turret blew open and jammed his guns. Well, Hutchins didn't want the Germans to solo out his plane because the ball turret wasn't working. So he crawled in the plane and grabbed a hatchet, then chopped the hinges off the ball turret and kicked the door free. Then he belted himself in and continued to fight the Germans. With wind whipping and temperatures 35 degrees below zero, the open turret must have been the place of nightmares. Stories like these show the caliber of men who won World War II. It took millions of individual actions to win the war. Each individual action is a very personal thing, and we tend to reduce them all into a neat, tidy page in the history book. Sometimes the men returned having accomplished greater feats than they had ever expected of themselves. I can tell you I've seen the caliber of men who are and were our fathers. They taught us to work hard for the life we want, demonstrating what that looked like. They didn't just talk about it. They taught us to give back to the communities we come from and to care for those less fortunate. They taught us to put our trust not in ourselves, but in a God who knows the very number of hairs on our head. Still, at times, many of these men had questions and doubt. In his letters, my father wrote, "Some of my friends are having doubts about God. How could a good God allow so many evil things to occur? My understanding is God gives us volition. Man's own choices get him into a lot of trouble. And God allows us to learn from our choices. Perhaps that's the whole purpose in allowing us to choose. We have the opportunity to become better people from those lessons learned. We have the opportunity to be thankful for good and fight against evil. And yes, there is a reward and a cost. So how do we honor those of the 306th, the 8th Air Force, and all the men and women who have served to preserve our freedom? We honor them by not forgetting, by keeping their history and their stories alive, so that the next generations don't make the same mistakes. This generation gave much. They paid with their lives, their hopes, and dreams to assure ours. They paid a price beyond measure, and it's a debt we cannot repay or forget."
Thank you very much, Debbie. That was lovely. Now, Kevin Conant is going to pay tribute to the men listed in the program by reading their names.
In Roosevelt's inauguration address of January 1945, he said, "We Americans of today, together with our allies, are passing through a period of supreme test. It is a test of our courage, of our resolve, of our wisdom, of our essential decency. If we meet that test successfully and honorably, we shall perform a service of historic importance in which men, women, and children will honor throughout all time. Here today, we honor more of our beloved heroes that have left us after additional years of continued service." Sam Alowitz, Harry Alleman, Vern Beatty, Donald Bevan, Franklin Beckwith, Carol Biggs, Joseph Blotner, Edward Bovich, Louis Breda, Abraham Burden, Merle Brown, Stanley Burns, Winston Burroughs, Frank Carl, Kenneth Carnahan, Charles Capaldi, Michael Capaldi, Nathan Chaddick, James Chamberlain, Herbert Cohn, William Davis, O.H. Davis, Raymond Decker, Virgil Dingman, Christian Dinkle, Joe Dolworth, George Economus, Robert Elwood Sr., Larry Emi, Carl Franz, Lauren Fink, Walter Garr, John Garrity, Herbert Gedney, Frederick Goetz, Jack Goetz, Don Gooden, Earl Goodwin, George Granditz, Walter Guy, Harvey Herbert, Richard Hodgson, Lawrence Hooper, Bernard Howard, Richard Iacona, George Jobber, Ralph Jones, George Kerr Jr., William Nara, Stephen Kober, Harvey Kresh, Joseph Laban, Robert Longerbone, Daniel Maher, John McAllister, Mike Michaelis, Matthew Moore, William Mountain, Norman Morrow, Philip Mandel, Bob Nikowski, Lee Nahamis, Andrew Ness, Carl Newson, David Nye Jr., Eddie Perrin, J. Douglas Pesker, James Rivas, Murray Rothstein, Harry Rowe, Don Sebastian, Robert Schmidt, Ralph Shaw, George Stahl, Joseph Steele, Harry Stewart, Arthur Stipes, Robert Taylor, Roy Trask, Harold Treese, Arthur Trimble, Henry Trimmer, Harry Tropp, Watson Vaughn, Andrew Bureau, Clayton Vidovich, Francis Woe, Joseph Weldon, Kenneth Westner, Jackson Wells, Winston Wood. Would we remember them in our thoughts and prayers? I know, like many of you, like many of us, still have a pang of pain when we consider how much we love these who have passed. Reach out with a kind word and an act of kindness when we're remembering our heroes.
Thank you very much, Kevin. And now we're going to listen and watch High Flight.
Thank you.
Bill Feaser will now close the program with a benediction. I ask on your way out, please stop by and take a moment and look at the names on the scrolls in the back.
May God bless us and keep us. May God make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. May God look upon us in favor. And always and forever, give us peace. Amen.
Thank you for your attendance. I'll just make an announcement about lunch will be served in the restaurant. It's optional, but they've opened it up just to our group. The price is $8.95 for lunch. And then at 12:30, Charles Neal will do a presentation about the website in this room. Thank you.
There are additional programs in the back. Marty has those if you'd like to take some for some relatives in a second.